Lesson this morning is titled, Out of the Mouth of Babes. It's taken from Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. The psalmist writes, Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. It's an interesting statement. When you consider the idea of strength established from the mouth of infants, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Older translations refer to babes and sucklings. A suckling would be a nursing infant. It seems impossible, but then nothing is impossible with God, though His enemies have fought against Him through all the centuries. And yet God always seems to take something that is weak in a worldly sense and use that to confound the strong, or to take something that's foolish, unlearned in the worldly sense, uneducated, and then confound the wise of this world with that which seems weak or unlearned. The truth is, when we look at a psalm like Psalm 8 and we consider Almighty God, God's honor is secure. There's no insecurity in God or in the way He deals with mankind. His honor is so secure, in fact, that God is content to let His defense be committed, as it were, to infants who speak then in eloquent praise. It is the only stronghold God needs. And the hyperbole of this verse is evident, truly. The verse speaks of the unbiased or the uncorrupted mind as with the mind of a child, an innocent child. Those whose trust is simple. Those whose trust in God is like that of a child's. They have no difficulty recognizing God through His creation. Note, in Psalm 8, note the verses around Psalm 8, verse 2. We could go to other passages to see this point, but let's look just here in Psalm 8 and let's see how God's creation is spoken of here. Verses 1 and 3 and 4 around Psalm 8:2. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Do you see how the psalmist incorporates the mighty works of God? These works which would speak for themselves to the one who has humility, to the one who looks simply and honestly at what God has done. God is evident in His creation. O Lord, Jehovah, it would have been. O Lord, Jehovah, our Lord, How excellent is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? Why would an almighty God, an all-seeing God, an all-powerful God be mindful of mankind? Be mindful to send and visit man. When we look around the world and the enemies of God, which outnumber those who are loyal to God, no doubt, we see that God lets his enemies have their say. They hurl bitter attacks at God. They deny God's existence. They deny God's word. They mock God. And yet, God knows that the impartial mind, the simple, honest heart that will look at what God has done, that he knows just the impartial mind silences those hateful assaults, sees right through them. They're not new. These assaults have always been. They were there when Jesus was on earth. They were hurled at him at times. Jesus actually used Psalm 8 verse 2 in Matthew 21 verse 16, where he enters the temple and he casts out the money changers. He first cites Isaiah 56 verse 7 and Jeremiah 7 verse 11 when he says, as he casts out the money changers, he says, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, Isaiah 56, but ye have made it a den of thieves, Jeremiah 7 verse 11. Jesus used the very verse that we're talking about next. He casts out these money changers. He references the scripture and how it says the temple will be called a house of prayer, and he accuses them of thievery. You've made it a den of thieves. And then the blind and the lame come to Jesus in this same chapter in Matthew 21. And he heals them. And when he healed them, and the children cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David, the leaders of the people, the chief priests and the scribes, were indignant. They were indignant at the Lord. And they asked Jesus concerning these children who were crying Hosanna to the Son of David, praising Jesus. They asked Jesus, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus replied, have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants you have perfected praise? He's referring to our psalm, Psalm 8, verse 2. Jesus took the words of the psalm, he applied them to his foes, and by those words, he did silence the enemy, just as the prophecy or the observation of Psalm 8 verse 2 says. The psalmist was David. Surely in his life he'd seen the same thing. Who was David? When Samuel went to anoint son of Jesse, David was not even considered. He was brought last. Samuel had thought another one of the sons. Surely this one, but God said, man looks on the outer appearance. God looks at the heart, and he was looking at David. And David, who was David? David's brothers were embarrassed when he came and would fight against Goliath. He won. God gave him the victory. David, as the one acknowledged as the psalmist here, David understood about out of the mouths of babes and suckling infants, hyperbole, but he understood what it meant. Jesus applied the very idea to these children. God does silence his foes using the weak things, things that the world sees as weak. When we look at the gospel as it goes into the world, we see the apostles, they were weak, were they not? But they were also strong, were they not? In Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants. Here's Peter and John. When we think about the apostles, except for Paul, who was, it seems, from a family of some means and who had been sent to Jerusalem to study with Gamaliel, which would have been quite a peculiar opportunity for him, and he was said to be more zealous and advancing beyond his peers. He would have been the exception among the apostles. Most of the apostles were not educated men or trained men, or eloquent men, but they were bold. Peter and John were bold. They looked at them. They're not educated. They're not trained. They marveled at it. That's what the psalm is talking about. The apostles were not educated. Most of them not trained at all, except as they were being led by the Holy Spirit in all truth. John 16, verse 13, "However, when he," Jesus told them, "when he," the Spirit of truth, "has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Jesus could take these men, untrained, uneducated, for all practical purposes, the commonest of men, and by the power of God, he could guide them into all truth, and they could speak as they would hear, as they were led to speak. God would use this babe, if you will, these babes, and they would pierce and they would abolish the devil's kingdom, even as Israel had felled the walls of Jericho. God does not look at men the way we do, and God takes men who have good hearts, and from those men and those women, he can do great things when moved by his word to do the works that he would have us do, to preach and to teach and to rear our children, taking people who do not seem to be exceptional in the world's eyes. That seems to be the message of the psalm. This is why the gospel is sometimes called the arm of the Lord and the rod of his strength in Scripture. And those come from Isaiah 53 and Psalm 110. Isaiah 53:1, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? the arm of the Lord, the good news, the glad tidings. Who's believed our report? Who's believed the preaching? This said so many years before Jesus came and died for our sins and was resurrected and the gospel began to be preached. Isaiah writes of it as something that's already occurred. And the gospel goes forth, the arm of the Lord. Psalm 110 verses 1 and 2, the Lord, Jehovah, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Now it's true that this psalm is messianic, and this psalm has a reference to Christ. But God sent His Son to be our Savior. And Christ died for our sins. And then, having been given all authority, He sent His apostles to preach the gospel. And the gospel is God's power to save. Paul will speak of it that way again and again. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And the gospel is God's power to save. Even in the hands of the weakest among us, it is a weapon of the greatest strength. And so we think of Psalm 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Paul explained this when he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, beginning, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He's done that through the power of the gospel, through the way in which He brought salvation, through the very people by whom the gospel was preached. In verse 21, beginning, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Paul really explains what the psalm is talking about. The wisdom of the world, in the wisdom of the world and the way the men of this world think about things and look at things, that's not how they came to know God. And so it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached. Not that preaching is a foolish thing. The world looks at preaching as foolishness, as the message being preached as foolish. The Jews look for a sign, and even though they had sign after sign after sign, which they ignored, they look for a sign. And the Greeks, they're looking for wisdom in the wisdom of the world. But the gospel is the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. The Jews stumble at that idea that Messiah died on a cross. And the Greeks look at it and hear of resurrection and think that's entirely foolish. But to those of a simple, trusting, honest heart, those who are called by the gospel, those who hear the truth of the gospel, whether we are Jews or Greeks, we see Christ as the power of God And we see Christ as the wisdom of God. God indeed spoke through babes, as it were. He silenced his enemies through the gospel. And his work brings glory to his excellent name. We look at the work of God in simple trusting faith, and we praise his wisdom. Paul would further write in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 of God's plan and of God's work so that we can see clearly how God establishes his strength through babes and nursing infants and why. 1 Corinthians 1, dropping down to verse 27, But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Men of no reputation, that's the things which are not. Things despised, the cross. We look at how God brought salvation and how that is revealed to mankind. And we see the wisdom of God. And in his wisdom, we see exactly what Paul writes, that no flesh should glory in the presence of God. We have nothing to boast about, nothing to take glory in, except in our salvation, except in Christ and him crucified, except in the hope that we have in him. And so we look at this psalm, just these first four verses, and we see the wisdom of God. O Lord our God, O Lord our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Why, pray tell, does God take notice of mankind, men who do not love him, men who reject his word, men who reject him, who deny the very existence of God? Why? Well, we know the answer to that. John wrote for us so that we could understand. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let us praise our God for his wisdom, for the way in which he brings salvation, not through worldly wisdom, but through his wisdom, even using people like us to spread the gospel to other people and giving people like us of honest hearts who will see the truth of the gospel, who will see God in creation, who will turn to Him humbly and believe and obey His will. The gospel went out into the world with a simple message that it should be heard, that it should be believed that Jesus Christ did die, that He was raised on the third day, that He ascended back to heaven. He sits at the right hand of God today. And the call is to believe and confess and repent of our sins and be baptized for the remission of our sins and then rise up to walk in a newness of life, an eternal walk from here to heaven with God Almighty. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth, who have set Your glory above the heavens. We appreciate you following along in our lessons. We'd love to have you here at Elgin Hills with us. We invite you to come and visit with us. We'd love to study with you. If you have opportunity to come and visit and stay, or just make contact with us, we'd be glad to meet and study at your convenience. God bless and keep you.